Blog Talk Radio.
That is the separation of African people from their African selves, from their basic African identities. When you have an identity, it is difficult for another person to impose a set of values on you, because having a positive identity and a solid identity is a defense against being penetrated by alien forces. A positive identity functions to locate us in the world, in space and in time and in history. A positive identity gives us a sense of purpose and a sense of direction. A positive identity provides us with self-knowledge and direction. A positive identity provides us with a sense of belongingness. When we say we are African, we are not merely identifying ourselves as individuals. We indicate that we belong to a people, to a culture, to a nation, that we belong to a system of values, a system of perceptions, a system of behavior, folkways and mores. A system, an identity permits us to cooperate with other people. It permits us to understand what role we must play within a particular group. An identity permits us to know our own interests. An identity permits us to provide ourselves with an evaluative system, permits us to evaluate what is going on in the world. An identity provides us with a defense against possession. I've often said that we cannot be African and be slaves and subordinates of other people at the same time. We cannot be fully identified and at one with our African identity and be subordinate to another people. The European, of course, recognized this immediately. That is why when we talk about our slave history, we often talk about the destruction of African culture. We talk about the rewriting of black history as an attempt, again, of destroying the African culture and an African personality. We recognize that the destruction of that personality, the separating of us from our culture, the separating of us from our history, is a separation of us ultimately from our identity. It means a split and a schism is created in the personality. When a schism and a split is created in the personality, the individual is made exceedingly uncomfortable. It is the first rule of brainwashing. When you wish to brainwash a person, when you wish to transform their personality, you break them from their old personality. You break them from their old mooring. You make them question and doubt their previous culture and their previous learning. When you get them to begin to doubt themselves, when you get them to reject their culture, when you get them to see their past lives as negative, when you get them to feel ashamed of that past life, when you get them to feel guilty of that past life, and any good brainwasher knows this, and you check out the Moonies and any other brainwashing organization, you will see this process being put forth. Once you get that, the individual then is left in a tremendous state of confusion, in a tremendous state of ambivalence. That state is painful. It motivates the individual then to seek some kind of relief, to seek some way out. Then it becomes the function of the brainwasher to say, if you follow my way, if you accept my definition, if you do it the way I say do it, if you look at it the way I say look at it, if you value it the way I say value it, then you will feel better. See how happy we are, you know, often in these semi or quasi religious brainwashing places, you see the people running around smiling and they're all glory and they're all happy and they're all loving and they're all, you know, and here's this confused person cut off from family, cut off from his community, cut off from everything he's known, and is filled with pain, and yet these people seem to be so loving, they seem to be so brotherly, they seem to be so sisterly. Then let me get what they have. And of course, these people are here to say, see, if you thought the way we thought, if you look at things the way we look at it, you'll be happy. You'll be one. You'll be accepted. Then often the individual then accepts the values and the orientation of the brainwashing group and then becomes a part of that group. The splitting then of the African personality is a necessary process in inculcating into that personality an alien personality, an alien spirit, creating the personality of servitude. It makes possible then, in that African personality, that is the split African personality, makes it possible then for the African to begin to believe the lies, to accept the European distortion, to accept European reality, to accept then the stereotypes the Europeans have projected. And it's very interesting as you ride the subways today, and it becomes an embarrassing event to watch our youngsters use the degrading term they use again and again, so loudly, so unselfconsciously. When I grew up, the idea of using this term in public, the idea of letting white folk hear you using that term, calling one, letting any other group of people hear you referring to yourself by that term, was unbelievable. But now this seems to be the coin of the realm. And we hear it all the time, yeah, that nigga did it, that nigga that, and you know, it just goes again and again and again. People must have been destroyed in many ways to talk about themselves in public and to be this way so loudly and so clearly. You must then break the African person from his African identity in order for this to happen. And this, of course, is what happens. Nature abhors a vacuum, we say. In other words, where there's a vacuum, there's an attempt for that vacuum to be filled in some way or another. And of course, we see that when we suck sodas with a straw, we create a vacuum, of course, and that vacuum sucks into it whatever we are drinking. When you create a vacuum in the personality by separating the African personality from its African identity, then there is an attempt for that personality to suck into itself something else, to fill its emptiness. When the European then is in control of information, when the European is in control of so-called knowledge, when the European is in control of so-called reality, in control of definition and so forth, it will be these things that are sucked into the African personality. When the European projects lies as truth, there will then be these lies sucked in through the vacuum of the split African personality and accepted as truth. And then this personality, these sucked-in lies, these sucked-in perceptions, these sucked-in distorted views of reality will take on a life of their own. They will take on a structure and an organization and represent themselves as a personality. At that point, the African personality becomes possessed by a spirit. It's when we hear, as I said earlier, about the black boys and our children talking that language on the subway and speaking the way they speak. In a way, it is not they who speak. It is the spirit in them that speaks using their mouths, using their bodies. When they then believe the lies that they cannot learn as well or better than any other people, when they are afraid to try, when they are afraid of failure, when they are afraid of success, when they are afraid to challenge the European, you see, we talk about racism. But I don't think we are yet really ready to do something about it. Because doing something about it in the ultimate sense means preventing and neutralizing the perpetrators of racism. Ultimately, it means, ladies and gentlemen, removing the Europeans' ability to perpetrate racism in the world. Not getting the European to love us, not getting the European to so assimilate with us or to accept us, but getting the European in a position where no matter how scandalous he is in terms of us, he can do a doggone thing about it. Because we then have the power in and of ourselves to defend ourselves against his insult and against his slander. Ultimately, then, the removal of racism for the world would mean the ultimate neutralizing of European power. But many of us are not ready yet to take on that task. Many of us are still afraid that we are not up to that task, that we cannot defeat the European, that we cannot neutralize the European. So we have opted for some kind of armistice, some type of suing for peace, some type of getting along, because we figure that is the best that we can do. Then in this sense, then, we will be continued to be possessed by an alien spirit. And that alien spirit then will speak to us. When we then fail to believe in ourselves as people, it is because that spirit has taken over us. And it says to us, what the European has said. You can't succeed. You can't run the world on your own. You're incapable of having a culture. Without us, you wouldn't have VCRs. You wouldn't have TVs because, see, you're not technical, and you know you love it. You wouldn't have compact disc, and you know you're into your music, you see. And you wouldn't have this, and you wouldn't have that. Europeans are mathematically gifted, and you are not mathematically oriented, and Jews can count money, and you don't know how to keep money. That means that there's a spirit in us, and that spirit whispers to us, and it keeps us from attempting many of the things that we should attempt. This can only occur when we have been separated from our African selves. The alienated African then lacks insight and clear, realistic vision of himself and of the world, and finds himself at a loss as how to extricate himself from servitude and damnation. In other words, as long as we accept that alien spirit in ourselves, we will be confused as to how we are going to get out of our situation. Today, we see a lot of confusion in terms of the education of black children.
Each one of us then thinks that we can engage in individual salvation. This is destructive and will lead to the destruction of African American people and African people. We will die with tremendous amounts of knowledge and skills in our heads. If those skills and if the knowledge is not coordinated and combined in the sense of nation and in the sense of peoplehood, of individual accumulation and knowledge and skills will save us as a people. It is only when that accumulated knowledge and the accumulated skills that we have are coordinated under the banner of nationhood and peoplehood will we then save ourselves as a people, and we will be saved individually as persons.
We are at war. I don't think there's any other way to begin this or to say it. We are at war. We're in a physical war of attrition, which for some people it may appear that we are losing, but I measure it based upon how far I've moved away from being European. The slave's wisdom is in the master's head. When these speak words of meaningless, if they come and get your men at night, they'll be back in the morning for your women. Proverbs are people's wisdom. But when you teach children in Proverbs, then you are cultivating their ability to think. We have to stop sometimes. Someone will say a proverb to us, and we have to stop and think about what it means. And then what it means in terms of the context of whatever they're talking to us in. Because Proverbs work your brain. Proverbs make you think. Imagine what we would have in our communities if every other sentence, every other discussion we had, we presented our children with a proverb relative to that. What kind of firepower we would have in the minds of our children. We wouldn't have a situation like we have now where we move from miseducation where they're given the wrong information to diseducation where they don't want to have to think because it's work. Proverbs shows you how intelligent you are. It gives you the wisdom of your ancestors. I wanted to go through a list of what it is to be a man, or what manhood is supposed to be about already. So for me, manhood involved at least five major components. You have educator, leader, provider, protector, and respecter of women. In our home, politics are simple. Politics don't have to be big. They should really be simple things. For any and I, no Euros, no homos, no Negroes. Man, I have to remember one word for me. It's a very important word in our house. Jairus Clark talked about how the Romans, when they wanted to conquer Kemet, they would greet each other every day. Greeting, fellow Roman. Egypt must not fall. Greetings, fellow Roman. Egypt must fall. And this was an affirmation they said to each other day in and day out until they did it. we must say something along those lines. How you say and what you say, that's up to you, but we need to incorporate that into our conversation. We say a BB Fahodie. Can you say that with me? A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie. That's tree for African liberation. A BB Fahodie. We say that when we greet each other in the morning. We say that when we walk out the door. We say that when we're going to bed. We say that whenever anyone sneezes. A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie.
Hi, peace, peace and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Knowledge Radio. Place of Analysis Born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Allah. And we are here paying owe and homage to our Safa warrior ancestor who came to us in the name of Dr. Amos Wilson. The phone number calling 929-477-1755. 1755. Press 1 with questions in the comments. I want to go to the phone line and bring in day one warrior sister who is the embodiment of a revolutionary spirit in every sense of the word. I'm going to go to and bring in the CEO of Renaissance Black Graphics, who has provided over 500 or so those wonderful flyers that y'all see associated with this broadcast. Very, very, very intensely in tune with the need and awareness of our people. So we're going to go to the phone lines. I couldn't do this without my voice. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, my brothers and sisters, it's my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some of the others. Sister Renee Black in the building. Tonight.
Can you hear me?
All right. Well, while we do that, I'm going to read Yasasim, the calendar of revolutionary thoughts by our Jingo living ancestor, Dr. Malika. This is 14th. Revolutions are never compromising. Revolutions are never based on negotiation.
Are never based.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm sorry. I had the line muted. I'm sitting up here talking, and then I even realized that my line was
I have a dream speech going on. You got
you know
the greatest speech in the world, and nobody got it but you and the Lord.
Nobody
the Lord.
Heard it. Dang. But peace, excuse me, thank you for that beautiful, amazing intro. I appreciate it. And also, I got Psycho on the line, too.
Psych!
Peace, peace. Black Power, what's going on?
Peace and Black Power. Now I feel double honor. You know what I'm saying? I could have said something snazzy about my broski over here. You understand what I'm saying? I would have had to know I'm up in here. Like Opacus in the building. But now I got the dynamic duo of Black Power. So that embodiment that I was speaking about is complementing to their energy and their commitment to our people. And so these are the founders of the RBG Pill University. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that these Black folks need to stop by and get their daily dose. You know what I'm saying? So the rundown with Renee and Faculty, one of the greatest collaborations that happened in regards to visual and audio communication on YouTube. So,
Knowledge, you're kind of breaking up. You hear me? Yeah, you're breaking
yeah,
up.
I hear you. I hear you.
You was kind of going, breaking up in and out.
Yeah. I'm talking about one of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for y'all, like, what are some of the great the lessons that y'all took from, you know, from Amos Wilson's work, commitment in life? What would y'all say?
Well, for me, I always count him as, like, basically one of my master teachers, if not my main for real master teacher. Because what I liked about him was, I don't know, if he resonated with me so much because I guess I'm somebody who thinks a lot about the mind and the psychology of Black people and as it relates to our circumstances and, you know, everything that has happened. And, you know, our psychology is what kind of keeps us feeding the machine and going along to get along. And the fact that he's somebody who broke so much of that down, he's somebody who dealt specifically with that, and he had a passion for breaking down our mindset. He had a passion for Black children and understanding, you know, the intelligence and the brilliance of Black children and how that gets disrupted in this system. He's somebody who also was you know, very very much into the political system and building on that and how that has impacted us. He was just all around. To me, he was like kind of a complete package because, you know, and not to say anything negative about any other of our brilliant elders and ancestors who laid out Black consciousness, laid out Black liberation for us. But just in my own personal opinion, he was more so a complete package because he attacked the issues in so many different ways and in every way possible. He was attacking the issue. And he really had a way of delivery that made you understand. He had a delivery you couldn't argue with because he was so complete. He was so complete in his information, you really can't refute it. And if you do, it's just strictly on the basis of nonsense. But he was educated in the, you know, European system and the way they go about things. So he knew that element. Of course, he knew the element of Black folks and African folks and our consciousness. He understood all of that, and he put it together in a big pot, you know, kind of like Dr. Francis Cress Welting as well, somebody who had an understanding of different elements, you know, and could put it all together. And, yeah, so to me, he's just one of the most complete scholars that we had when it comes to Black consciousness. He is, of course, blueprint for Black power. You know, he laid it out. He laid it out for us a long time ago. And, you know, like I always say, if you're not into him, get into him. Get into him. And he will break it down about everything, all of the different things that we contend with today. He was breaking this stuff down back then. He was just ahead of his time in so many ways. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, he's not with us anymore in the physical form, you know, but his words live on, his information lives on, you know, what he put out to us lives on, and I really think people should get into him. And I wanted to let me read this quote real quick, because last night on our platform, we kind of were talking some about integration and segregation and all of those kinds of things. And I just wanted to read this this quote from Dr. Amos Wilson. He said, "Integration itself indicates that wanting to live and be loved and lay around with people who destroyed us and enslaved us and given us the greatest pain in the world is mentally unhealthy. In other words, the unhealth of the black community serves the health and wealth of the white community, just as the sickness of the drug addict helps the health and wealth of the pusher. So it's like somebody who can give you, wrap it up so neatly with a bow on it, and in essence answering all your questions, breaking it down where it's easily palatable to people, it's easy to understand. He did that with so many things. And it's like a lot of questions that I found myself having, you know, prior to really getting into him. But a lot of questions I had, or thoughts rather, that I had about, you know, the condition of black people, the condition of this system. One of my favorite quotes, I don't have it in front of me from him, but one of my favorite quotes, and this is something that I had been thinking on and feeling for a long time, but one of my favorite quotes from him is, he was talking about, there is no law of the universe that things necessarily have to get better over time. And he goes further in breaking that down. And that's so real, because you will hear so many people say, well, it's 2019, and now it's 2020, and this and that shouldn't be. No, no, as he broke it down, there's no law in the universe that says things must get better or things will get better because time goes along. That's not true. So a lot of black folk have that mentality that, oh, well, we're here now and things are better because as time goes on. No, that's not the reality of it. And he goes further in breaking that down, but basically saying that that means nothing. That means absolutely nothing that the years are going past. That doesn't mean things are better for black people. So he just was brilliant on another level. But I'm going to pass the mic to Psycho. I've been running my mouth long enough.
Yeah. Amos Wilson actually was on top of his game when it came, especially with the topic you was just talking about. Oddly enough, I was just going through this yesterday or today, but you know, with people, integrationists who, you know, actually, you know, feel like integration was the best thing for black people. Well, I disagree. You know, I'm a separatist, and you know, Dr. Amos Wilson spoke on the same things that I was raised and instilled with by my father, which is, you know, integration was a mistake and we should have never been begging for white acceptance. We should have been trying to attempt to get reparations at that time, because to me, that was the best opportunity for us to get it. I feel like it's going to be extra difficult now to try to get reparations. I'm not completely giving up on it, but I feel like we definitely missed the boat in the 60s. And, you know, I always say, you know, it didn't cost the white man nothing to sign that civil rights bill. It didn't cost him anything. Actually, it made him money. You know, it was a business deal, and it actually made him money. He didn't lose any money. Didn't cost him nothing but the ink and the pen. That's it. And so and he felt like, boom, I washed my hands, I'm clean. And a lot of people accepted that. A lot of black people accepted the fact that the white man's hands is now clean because he signed this civil rights bill that forced white people to put their corporations into our communities and bleed us dry of all of our resources. So, you know, people always kind of look at this on space. I hear these whole, you know, arguments about, you know, we wasn't allowed to use their bathrooms, you know, wasn't allowed to go to certain shows and all this other stuff, anything else. And that's kind of minuscule when you think about some of the things we should have gotten and some of the things we should have been fighting for and if we would have got the things. We'd have been way better off. So, like, yeah, so, you know, it's good that Amos Wilson was on top of his game with that, because a lot of black people brought into the whole hype and he didn't. And he was pushing the message that, you know, we need to be self-sufficient and try to find a way to fight against this white man and not try to be around him.
Yep.
I know my thoughts.
Can I give a couple more quotes from him?
Go ahead.
Man. Yeah, because this is, you know, yeah. Anyway. Okay. And this one is very key. This is one of my favorite ones as well. But If you want to understand any problem in America, you need to focus on who profits from that problem, not who suffers from the problem. I mean, think in terms of all the people who easily love to denigrate black people for our misgivings and things like that. But again, they're not looking at it from this aspect of how he broke it down. Who benefits from the suffering of black people? That's what you need to focus on if you really want to address the issue. He said, when you are filled with self-hate, your mind is reversed, meaning you will love the things that destroy you, and you will hate the things that advance your growth. If that ain't real, and the level of self-hate we have, I mean, it's off the chain. Give you this one. We have to be made dumb. Because this one here is something he talks about a lot in terms of for black people to exist in this society as it is, we have to be backwards. Everything has to be in an opposite world. But he said, we have to be made dumb to exist in this situation. We have been robbed of our common sense, our intellectual capacity, our culture, creativity, and sense of reality. Having been taught to be dumb, Africans will experience a consciousness, an intellectual expansion, a clarity of vision, a spiritual harmony, and an increase in intelligence when we summon the courage to reign and reclaim our African identity, consciousness, culture, and time. And, you know, in this day and era, a lot of people are running from being of African descent. You know, that's also something that he was not ashamed of. Yeah. He was Pan-African to the core. And he didn't make a separation per se, you know. And a lot of people today are running from being of African descent. Let me give a couple more. We have been duped into self-hatred by the European. He made us hate our heritage, hate our skin, hate our hair, hate our noses, and our lips. He's made us hate Africa itself and the whole heritage. He's made us hate being black as individuals. So consequently, we're going to love somebody who doesn't remind us of who we are and what we are. Think how deep that is. If somebody done talked to you, and this is so real, and we see it happening all the time now, especially on social media and certain circles or whatnot. But if you have been taught that everything about you is bad, everything about you is ugly, your hair, your skin complexion, your nose, lips, like he said, just your whole existence has been taught, you've been taught that it's bad, that it's no good. You've been taught to hate it. Then, of course, somebody, you want to be with somebody who doesn't remind you of that. You want to be with somebody then who has been put on the pedestal, who has been shown that everything about them is right and exact. Everything about them is good. So you'll want to be with that person. And that's the reality of a lot of our people today. It's the self-hatred helps to fuel a lot of choices people are making, like, you know, in terms of interracial relationships and things like that. And a lot of it comes from that place. So again, he was way on point. And the fact that in that quote, the fact that he spoke about the lips and the nose and other features and the skin, but look at what these people are doing. Of course, what? They get a tan. They get in tanning beds. They get spray tans to have a darker complexion on them. What do these heifers do? They get these lip injections now to have bigger lips. They get the surgeries to have bigger butts. You know, all the while, many things about us we've been told is ugly. But then they want to mimic some of those very same things. So he was just on point. He was just on point. I'm done. Knowledge?
Yeah, I'm here. My bad.
Oh, okay.
My bad. Yeah, today is the day of his transition under mysterious circumstances. Both him, Dr. Bobby Wright, Dr. Mushabara Shango, all three died under mysterious circumstances. They said that Dr. Mushabara Shango froze to death. You see what I'm saying? So this was something crazy in regards to the stances that they took. You know, like Bobby Wilson made you want to be an African, like my trek into the
mm-hmm.
African Senate psychology and sociology of our people began with him and Dr. Bobby Eugene Wright. So both of them
mm-hmm.
kind of played into my consciousness. But Dr. Millie Fuller Jr. and Dr. Wilson helped me understand where I was in regards to the context of the situation that we find ourselves in and where the liberation work begins. So the preparation of my imagination outside of my family dynamic was Bobby Wilson. You see what I'm saying? To approach things from an African center, to have an understanding of what that is. So when you start looking at it, you can see how it operates. Now, the moving parts inside of this system, Dr. Wilson, Dr. Fuller, and Dr. Remember I Need, gave me the cultural understanding of the other side and how it operates and how it functions. So understanding and knowing your enemy and your enemy's playing field, your enemy's capabilities, their assets, you see what I'm saying, their liabilities, their weaknesses, all of those things on the other side of the spectrum and how that relates to African liberators' work, our commitment to our people. You see what I'm saying? We say black first. We say black only. You see what I'm saying? We say black always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those mantras to try to get into the mind of a people who don't even identify themselves as black. Forget African. You understand what I'm saying? So these two have become cuss words nowadays through the traumatic association with our current state and condition and the fantasized. Like we like to say, oh, you know, y'all want to romanticize about Africa. No, you want to romanticize about the European reality that you find yourself in and its effect on you. That's where you at. You daydreaming about the conditions that you find yourself in because that closeness to it has traumatized you to the point to where you no longer think that you in pain no more, that you're not suffering. You think you numb to it. You see what I'm saying? They're like, what you talking about? I don't feel nothing. Yeah, that's the closest you could ever get to death that's possible. Right before you expire, if you say you freezing, when you are about to check out, you are no longer cold.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is no longer shivering. That means all of those systems in your body have begun to shut down. But you're about to check out. And this is where
mm-hmm.
we find ourselves in that condition to where we're numb to our condition. And we're numb to who's responsible. We're numb to who's benefiting us being in this dead state. You see what I'm saying? All this near-death experience that's going on. So, you know, one of the biggest lessons I learned from Bobby Wilson was this, like in this essence right here of understanding the importance of having an African mind, an African purpose, and an African program. You see what I'm saying? To approach these things from an African center, to learn how our ancestral lineage saw. We don't even think like our ancestors, because if we thought like our ancestors, you wouldn't hear statements like, we are not our ancestors. That's not how we think. This is not how we act, and this is not how we feel. So we find ourselves in a situation devoid of our thinking capability, one of our strongest and foundational tools to fight and find our way out of a condition that we're in. So when you find yourself limited on one level, your mind automatically elevates to put you in a space to where you're seeking different instances and possibilities in order for you to get out of the situation that you're in, especially if you're trapped. So we found comfortability in the state of being where we are because we don't think anything else other about it. We think this is the best thing that ever happened to us. You see what I'm saying? You hear some people espousing these things, this condition. Us even being brought into America, we done found the kind of way to rationalize this. And we're like, oh, you know, if I was over there, I'd be swinging from trees. If I'm here, you know, I got diamonds. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So your condition is conditioned to have you in a certain kind of frame of mind to where you will no longer look at your trauma as trauma. You look at your trauma as blessing. You will no longer look at your enemy as your enemies. You'll look at them as your savior. So that was the shift in thought that was provided, and that was what was so hated. Like one of the most beautiful things I could say about Dr. Wilson was he was an African to the core. So whether he was a janitor or he was a college professor, he still had that African mind. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what it was just great that he was put on a path to be in a certain kind of way for us. Like this great book, The Blueprint for Black Power, came out posthumously after he had transitioned. This book came out. You see what I'm saying? So he was building up these things orally that would be a complement to this book. And so if you look at those books in that series, you see how they had meld these things together. And I believe there's another book coming out this year of one of his works, like one of his last works he was working on before he transitioned. So I'm interested in to see, you know, how much of that is in what he got going on. So I didn't really want to keep everybody long. I just wanted to, you know, kind of put this out there. So if y'all got any final thoughts that y'all wanted to share with everybody, and also shout out your channel, shout out how people can support and get with y'all for what y'all doing. So, you know, we can wrap this up. I know everybody got busy stuff going on. I got another show later on at 9 o'clock, so 9:30, I think.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to give this one last quote while I'm on here. Oh, man. And this is something, too, that we contend with a lot in this climate with the division amongst Black people being made, the ends versus Black people and all these other things. But again, he had solutions and answers to all of these things before, you know, some of these things were being posed on social media. But he said, "I often must warn you as I warn my own students. You are being educated here to put a Black face on white power. You are being educated to make people think that because you have a job and you eat well, that Black people somehow are entering and moving into a new age and a new set of power relationships. Nothing has fundamentally changed. Your Black slave grandfathers and grandparents were not all field hands. They were not all house servants. The division of Black labor under slavery was much more diverse than that. You had many skilled craftsmen who were slaves, shipbuilders, iron workers, carpenters, and millwrights, and others. But they all worked for one fundamental thing, and that is the enrichment and profits of their white masters." Listen, listen, listen. So a lot of people need to have that understanding. Yeah, again, if you're not into him, please get into him. Please seek out his material. You will not regret it. But, yeah, that's pretty much my last words on him. He was a phenomenal man. Rest in Black power to him. And like I said, his spirit, his works live on. You can check me out on The Rundown with Renee, or the RBG pill on Psycho's channel. I'm sure he's going to give the channel and whatnot. But on Psychopathia's Live on YouTube. And you can check out some of my older archive shows that are still on Blog Talk under the Rundown with Renee. And I also do graphics like logos, flyers, and things of that nature. Like Nava said, I've done a bunch of his flyers consistently for the past few years. So a lot of things that you may have seen I've done. So if you want to contact me about that, you can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/Renee Black Graphics, and holler at me on there. And other than that, thank you, Knowledge, for bringing me in, bringing us in to discuss Dr. Amos Wilson, Baba Amos Wilson, an amazing, amazing, brilliant ancestor.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, shout out to Knowledge. You know, appreciate you having us on. You know, interesting topic, all as always. You know, I know Renee definitely loves discussing Dr. Amos Wilson. Like she said, that's her favorite, and she's not playing. anybody out there that's looking or interested in viewing our show or whatever, you can catch me on Psychopathias Live, like Renee said, on YouTube. Psychopathiest live, live, that's on YouTube. And shout out to Knowledge. I appreciate you having us on again. I see you doing your work over there on YouTube too, Knowledge. I caught a couple of your shows. I'm trying to catch another one, the next one you do. I see you at King Samir on there too. Shout out to him. Is he there? Knowledge?
Yeah. He kind of broke up. Okay, yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on tonight with Jabari Nitor, the father of Watoto from the Nile. So I'll be on with him 9:30 in like a couple of hours.
You going to be on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be on there. Okay. I'm trying to check with y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got it locked over here. You know what I'm saying?
I was saying he's consistent. And so that's really good. Consistency pays off for YouTube. People going to get on board.
Well, we out. Thank y'all for coming through.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Appreciate it.
All right, peace and
Black power.
Black power.
Peace.